I think a lot of companies don't really understand how ads are meant to be integrated, and they end up becoming a kind of backfill for just any user who isn't going to pay. We're going to just spam them to, you know, to oblivion, essentially. And that's also not a really great approach.
Are bad ads going to kill mobile media monetization? Hello and welcome to Growth Masterminds. My name is John Sear. About a third of mobile games revenue is from ads, which makes it fairly important. Not as important as in-app purchases, but pretty important. However, is the ad ecosystem killing the goose that lays those golden eggs? Peter Chat is a gaming OG. He was formerly with Jam City. He was a CEO of Tango Games. He's a former CMO of a edtech company. Sits on advisory boards for multiple companies, including Dataseat and Mega Studio, and is now founder and CEO of Mega Studio, a gaming agency that designs, builds, analyzes, and monetizes games. His name is Adam Jaff. Welcome, Adam.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me here. Looking forward to the conversation.
It's a pleasure to have you. It's been a long time coming. We've chatted before, but it's got to be pre-COVID, so happy to talk about that. I want to read something that you wrote on LinkedIn 4 weeks ago, something like that. You wrote this, I think that you just had a gaming experience that was maybe less than amazing, less than stellar. And you said, fix your effing X button. This is why people hate ads in games. Sure, it can make a bit of extra money, but the UX is so unbelievably horrible that it's often not worth it for the game dev in terms of retention. Talk about that.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, my studio, and Mega Studio, we're a first and third party game development studio, and I was doing some research on a project, and this project was predominantly ad revenue based. And so I was playing a lot of games, seeing a lot of ads, and, you know, I was in my probably, you know, 10th minute of my session, and I kept getting the same ad, and I couldn't close the button. And every time I tried to close it, it would redirect me to the app store. And it just, you know, as somebody who works in gaming for a long, who has worked for gaming for a long time, you know, it sort of struck me consistently that this is a terrible experience. And, you know, from the marketing perspective, of course, you want to get as many clicks through that top of funnel. But now that I'm a studio owner and work with a bunch of studios, this is potentially, killing businesses.
It's funny because pretty much only in gaming can you say, you know, I'm working and I'm playing games. You know, I'm playing games all day long. It's research, honestly. But, you know, I've had the same experience. I have my favorite mobile game. There is ad monetization in there as well as in-app purchases. And I've bought a few things and that, you know, occasionally look at an ad when I don't want to pony up again, right? And trying to click that X is sometimes almost impossible. But also almost...
Sometimes it is impossible.
And almost any interaction, click it, kicks off that SK overlay and boom, you're in that sort of subset of the app store. And, you know, that's how you get a click through rate of, you know, 90% or something like that, which everybody knows is insane.
That's true. And, you know, I want to start by saying that I am a huge proponent of advertising. Huge. I mean, I started my career as a marketer. And so for me, ads are the gateway for not just for game growth, but from both sides, right? You want to acquire, you know, you want your game to grow. Well, you need to make more money. So placing ads is honestly the best way for you to do that. And at first, it's going to be hard to balance. There's a lot of reasons why the IAP is difficult to achieve. Obviously, we have had an entire category of hyper-casual, which is essentially exclusively ad-based. And on the other hand, if you want that game to grow, you got to go out and you got to use the iron sources of Unity as well. The same company, the Fivers, all these companies still to acquire traffic. Facebook, of course, you know, with Span and AdMob, of course, with, you know, the way that they monetize and the way that you acquire users. And so for me as a marketer, I see ads as it's key. Any company that I have had many conversations, both the product level, C-level, anytime somebody tells me they don't like ads or they don't want to put them in their game, I always kind of laugh. Like it's such an antiquated feeling. On the other hand, you know, when you experience these types of problems and you know that the app developer probably has little to no control over this, or they barely know that it's even happening, you know, you really feel for them. Although to be fair, I think that most people look at ads when they say they don't like them, not because of this experience that you and I are describing where we can't actually X out. It's more because they feel that ads somehow cheapen the product experience. And to a degree, that can be the case if they're correctly implemented. But, you know, if done well, they can offer a really good experience, especially to a subset of users who may not have the capacity to pay. So
I think in the case of rewarded ads, it's a perfect marriage. It can be a perfect marriage, which is I want something, you have something, you want to give it to me because you want me to be engaged in your game and to progress and to do better. I want that because I want to feel success. I want to feel better. I want to win all those things. I can get that by watching this 30-second ad. But it used to be, I don't know, maybe it was 15 seconds at one point. 45. I saw 60 seconds last night in my game. And you know what? That was just the video part of the ad. And then I was in a playable. So there was a video stacked with a playable. And it was like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
My game time. Now that is disruptive to me enjoying that game. That is massively disruptive. But if we get it right, then it works. What's driving this arms race of longer and more clicks and more in length of time for pretty much for these ads?
So I think it's a combination of factors, but you know, at the end of the day, even within the same company, you're going to have really divergent views on this topic, right? Let's just take company A spending, I don't know, let's say company A spends $100 million because its games make $200 million, right? And they make a significant, let's say they make a ton of money from advertising and a ton of money in a first year. 30% is, let's call it like that split. So they have a big incentive to continue to run ads, of course. But from the marketing perspective, you're looking at that and you're saying, okay, I want to grow my product. So I want to spend money and I want to get the best CTRs. I want to get the best IPMs, right? I want the most installs, but you don't pay for clicks. Mostly you're paying for installs. And anytime you end up paying for an install, your mind shifts away from this idea of like, hey, what's my CTR? What's my click-through rate? Is it 2%? Is it 1%? You don't care. As long as those installs are coming in and the quality is there, you're super happy. What that translates into is that the companies that typically work off of CPI as the way that they monetize, they have no interest whatsoever in guarding that click. The click is not a valuable commodity at this point. It's only the install. So if they can push as much traffic to that landing page, even if it's an erroneous click, maybe 0.01% of those guys goes on to install. And for them, that's a win. Now, they don't really care because the game developer isn't necessarily hurting so much because they do get paid for it, right? I am footing your ads. I'm paying you for this experience. But I think the race to the bottom has been that, oh, if I just put the exhibit off and tap and you go, oh, wow, CTRs went up, IPMs went up, like that's a win for the advertiser. And it can also be a win for the game. Why? Because the game is showing that it has a better eCPM. I can translate more of my more of my users to become valuable to other advertisers out there. So it's a very unique problem because both sides can appreciate this process as a positive impact on both revenue potentially, but then also on acquisition. On the other hand, your sort of BI manager or your game designer or whomever is trying to look at retention numbers, or in fact, long-term monetization, you know, these can be very, very delicate situations because they do create churn. And they don't create churn because of the ads. They create churn because of what those ads are now looking like, what the UX is on these experiences. Yeah, the experience.
Yeah. And it's very interesting, actually, because now we're starting to see ads in apps that are promoting other apps that don't have ads. So I actually saw that just the other night. I actually put it in the blog post where I quoted you as well, but they're literally advertising that they don't have ads. It's
I like that.
Ad says the app you will get if you click on this ad does not have ads.
Yes. So
that is becoming a differentiator. So talk about this from a product perspective and a user experience perspective. I'll say if I can't get rid of an ad, it's a bad user experience. If the reward sucks, and you know that sometimes happens because sometimes you get a variable reward and it could right. be something that really helps you in the game, or it could be something that is just irrelevant or barely relevant. If the reward sucks, that sucks. But also, if I have this big gap in my gameplay, I'm playing a mobile game because I have 5 minutes, because I have 7 minutes, because I need a mental break, right? If you're going to take 10% of that time and make me go through this experience, that's going to suck. From a product perspective and a user experience perspective, what do product managers feel about this? What do game designers feel about this?
So it's actually kind of an interesting topic because, and I'm going to answer this probably not in the way that you're expecting, because the way that the Agile typically formulated in the past was, you know, let's just, you know, interstitials as an example, right? Just what a horrible UX. You know, just randomly pop a 20-second ad in there. You're like frantically trying to close it because it's in the middle of your
context.
Exactly. And the banners and what, I mean, it was just, but today what ads actually allow for is to give players a taste of what the in-app purchase should look like. And if your ad integration is done effectively, essentially what you're doing, you start just down the path of watching ads. Okay, but you don't want to pay. And there's going to be a subset of players who are like, I'm paying yes or yes, first day, here's my money, take it, cool. It doesn't necessarily preclude them from watching ads, by the way, but that, of course, is going to be a type of player, and God bless them because they make it all fun.
Everybody wants them. Yes,
exactly. But the ad experience should be, as a general rule of thumb, a way in which you can sort of push users to experience a taste of what it feels like to pay that premium subscription or premium, whatever, you know, to get the sword, to get the booster, to get the, you know, the power up. And you're doing it for maybe a fraction of the time, or maybe it gives you only a percentage increase versus if you were to pay for it, it would give you, you know, multiples above what you're currently getting. And so in this way, ads are a way to sort of peek under the hood a little bit or behind the curtain and show you, hey, this is there's a different experience in this game. And it sits behind this paywall, this pay experience. And, you know, we want to offer you an opportunity to participate into a part of that process. And for me, that's how I always approach it. You know, ads can be this opportunity to enjoy an experience which you don't necessarily have to pay for. But if you do pay for it, you're going to get an even more enhanced experience. That being said, I think a lot of companies don't really understand how ads are meant to be integrated. And they end up becoming a kind of backfill for just any user who isn't going to pay. We're going to just spam them to, you know, to oblivion, essentially. And that's also not a really great approach. And I don't really want to get too deep into like pressure and how many impressions you send out has a big impact on your overall app CPM. So I'll give you an example. Two apps exactly the same, okay? But one has, one shows for each user 5 impressions and the other one shows 15 impressions, okay? The CPM on that 15 impressions per day is going to be half. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but it's going to be significantly less than your 5 impressions. In fact, that 5 impressions per day app is going to make more money. Why? Because the companies mediating that particular app, okay, they're going to see that this app has a slightly lower CTR. And so they're going to basically, I don't know what's the right word, they're going to push down their CPM for that product. Yeah. And so you see these companies that are blasting ads and you're realizing like, not only does this not work out in terms of money, it also doesn't work in terms of, you know, value for you. And and ultimately those players will churn without ever really giving you the kind of value you would have expected.
So that's super interesting. So basically they're not just shooting themselves in the foot. They're shooting themselves in the hand. They're shooting themselves in the leg. They're shooting themselves in the head. They're shooting themselves everywhere because they're destroying the game experience, reducing their monetization by blasting you with ads.
Exactly. It's like the difference between first impression and seventh impression is like 99.9% drop in CPM. It's a massive drop, okay? But it's not just that you drop in CPM on a per user basis. If you are consistently showing tons and tons and tons of ads and nobody is converting on those ads, because of course they're not, because you're showing them 15 ads a day, they're not clicking 15 different times, right? Your overall CPM of that product on a category level will just decline because people will know that product, it's like, this is remnant traffic. And there's a secondary component to this, especially if you're at iOS and you don't have IDFA, right? So IDFA allows, of course, for behavioral targeting, which can say, if this is a high quality user, let's make sure he's getting the kind of the $300-$400 CPMs. But that is a bit lax, or you don't have IDFA like we are experiencing these days. And in Android too, if you're not buying quality traffic to supplement those users, then you basically are just scraping the bottom of the barrel with another bottom of the barrel. Like you have no way of growing it. So it's like lower than low. So, so for me, whenever I'm looking at how to increase value in a business or looking at ad stacks or trying to figure out the right way to support a business, I'm always trying to understand the relationship between, okay, how much money you spend in marketing, what's your retention of those users? Because obviously if you're consistently replenishing that first time user experience a lot, like I'm spending $100,000 a day and you're buying quality users, this might not be such a big deal. But if you're not buying that great of quality and you're not spending a ton of money, so you're really impressing upon the same user base consistently over and over with the same types of ads, you run a huge risk of causing major detriment to your overall ad stack.
This is huge. This is absolutely huge because you have cases. It's essentially a sad case of a game developer, an app developer who doesn't understand that. Is desperately trying to monetize and is essentially destroying his or her ability to monetize by the very things that he or she is doing to try to monetize.
I would say that there's not like a rule of thumb that says if it's like this, it's like that. And because the world of advertising is quite opaque, in fact, it's
quite, hey, just a little.
Just a little,
all through before it came to my app.
You don't know anything. Like, you don't know the CPMs of your own users. You know, at best, you're getting an average across the market for a period of time. You know, some mediations will say, oh, we give you, user level CPMs, which is great. Although, to be fair, you're not 100% sure why that CPM was like that, because, of course, you don't have the device graph. You don't have access to such and such as device graph to know that that player was going on to do something else in this game and we really want him. So, so there's not even much you can even do with that information other than to understand what's the optimal amount of ads I should be sending to a user. I can't even tell you what that is. I can't tell you if it's 3 or 1 or 10, because again, each user is different, but I can tell you that the more ads that you send, you're going to hit a point of diminishing return. And this conversation isn't specifically about, this blasting users with ads, but I think it's also about opening up yourself to, and I think a lot of companies also don't necessarily realize this, but the mediation structure isn't like you have one mediation SDK and then that simply is just there. All the traffic goes through this. And so you only have one SDK. No, you still have all of the SDKs that you need are sitting inside of your app, right? And so if there's any issue with any of those SDKs, it will break the waterfall. And ISOs or Max or whomever could detect that and move on to the next one. But there are other times where they can't detect it. And so you had the experience, for instance, like I experienced, right? Where there was a bug in that SDK, which didn't allow for an X out, right? I was contacted later by the CEO and he was saying, yeah, hey, you just caught us on an off day and we're trying to fix it. I see you laughing. So maybe you don't believe that statement, but I believe it 100%. I believe that was true. And so at the end of the day, I think companies aren't necessarily aware, and there are companies out there that kind of do this, checks and balances system. It does a pre-check to say, hey, does this work? Will it serve an ad? Well, yeah, I got an ad for sure. So it works. And I think that's probably the extent to which that technology kind of goes. Now, there are other ones that really look at, they pre-cache the ad or they check if the X is there. But again, if there are problems, you as the suffers. It's always the user who's suffering in this scenario. Right.
It's a high-speed business. There's so many different layers to it. There's so many different ways and things that can happen to an ad impression even happening. Many, many things can go wrong there. Okay, so there's a lot of issues there. I want to get back to kind of where we started, where we have this experience in an ad that is not optimal. What is the solution to that? How do we fix that?
So I think it goes back to like truly understanding your business and figuring out kind of where your users are finding real value in your products. And you can monetize that experience, right? And I think that's ultimately what you're trying to get to, right? Hey, you ran out of lives. You want to continue, pay $1 or watch an ad to continue this, get a little jumpstart on that. Want an extra boost or whatever. And I think if you consider that the ad not as a simple modernization tool, but actually is a product tool. It's a tool to allow a player an insight into an asset to be bought. That's what ads ultimately allow for. And if you approach it like this, then you wouldn't just blast ads all across your product, right? Because you wouldn't be looking at it from the product perspective. You look at it from the monetization perspective. So I always try and get people to understand that ads are not a monetization tool, right? It's a product tool to help you push users further in your game, to increase retention, to improve session length, to do all the things which are general KPI structures meant to support and to have these users. But most companies, as I mentioned, have a different view, and I'll tell you the reason why.
But before you go there, if you have that mindset, if you have that mindset that is part of your product, part of your product experience, then you're going to be very cautious about who you allow into your product experience to deliver ads. And you're going to have some parameters for who you're going to allow in there. Now, that's complex as well. And picking is hard in a lot of cases. But you're going to want to say to those people, the kinds of ads I want are these. The kinds of ad experiences I want are these. And if more product people and game developers had those types of conversations with more of the ad tech companies and the ad networks, we might get better experiences as well.
You know, I don't know if this is actually true. If I'm about to say the story, somebody told me the story, and I don't know if it's true, but I always like this. It was actually happened in Vancouver, as I recall, but it was that they came out with this thing where you could put a colored sticker on your mailbox, which would basically preclude you from getting spam mail. And so all these people put them up there, and then they saw that people were sort of taking them off. And the reason was is that people, you'd rather get spam than nothing, right?
And stuff. We feel like it's not important enough to get any email.
I know this is a little bit of a weird tangent, but all of this technology exists. You can call up any company, AppLovin, IronSource, whoever, and you can go into their dashboard and you can blacklist advertisers. I don't want to see this stuff. I don't want to see it. There's a problem with that, though. The problem is that you then hurt your own business. And I think at the end of the, I mean, we used to do that all the time, right? In the early days of ads, you know, when I was working on with Facebook, I'd say, I don't want to see casino ads in my game. You know, that's not what I want. I'm a casino product. I don't want to see Double Down. I don't want to see Big Fish Casino, right? In Slalom. It's not what I wanted. So you would blacklist those products. And then you know what would happen? No, your monetization would tank. Why? Because those guys pay the most money for your traffic. They know their traffic is good. And so then it became this race not to ban people, but to make the best product. My product was better than your product. And you're going to just pay for somebody to watch your video. And I love this idea. Like, if your game sucks, then your ads are going to work really well at driving players out of it. So it's not necessarily a problem of not seeing the right stuff. It's like your game experience sucks. Put that ad, you lost the level, and then you show me an ad and you're like, yeah, dude, I guess I'm out. Like, this looks like an interesting game. So I've always 100%
buy that. I 100% buy that. What I was talking about more than who is in the ad or what the ad is advertising is the ad architecture, the ad infrastructure around that X button, around how long is this ad slot for, around is this a playable that every time I try and play it, kicks up SK overlay. Yes. So I can't play the playable because it's interpreting every time.
Technically, it's not a playable. It's probably just an ad. Like, it just looks like a playable because, again, cheaper to make something that looked like a playable that you could just click on that was bringing you to the app store.
Exactly.
No, I think you bring up a good point, John. And I think that's ultimately kind of where we find ourselves, is that there really is no standardization at this moment. There used to be 15-second non-skippable skippable. CPMs would be different depending on that. And you had 30 seconds skippable, non-skippable. Again, different types of CPMs, because when I was buying media, I'd say, I want a 30-second non-skippable ad. That's a more expensive. But I feel like what ended up happening was that people realized that they didn't necessarily have to differentiate that anymore, right? They could charge the better stuff, even because basically there was no differentiation. 15-second, 30, simple, not simple. That didn't matter. And really on my side as an advertiser, you know, putting that stuff in my game, I would choose like, okay, this is going to be this kind of ad, or I'd get this kind of reward for the reality was is that you can bypass all of that just by what you're describing, right? You have the ad, then the end card, then the end card links to a thing, and all of a sudden you're like 45 seconds. And you're like, well, we allowed you to skip it to the end card, right? And now from the end card, you have, and basically it literally won't leave the screen until you X out of that, right? Which could essentially, so it could have
it there. X won't appear for 15 seconds.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I think that the lack of standardization and the lack of general oversight, but again, you have to go back to the company.
At that point, lack of standardization, I think that hurts the industry. Because if I know what I'm in for, when I accept to view a rewarded ad, I know the deal I'm making. And I have more, and I'm more likely to make it. But if I don't know, there's some ads in the game that I'm currently playing most that are 15 to 30 seconds in, out, done, excellent, there we go, fine, excellent. And some are literally the minute plus a playable following them.
Yes.
And that makes me less likely to tap into that ad experience.
You are 100% true. And I'm going to say something right now that sort of throws a stick in the whole wheel of all this conversation. Is that,
ouch.
And you could probably beat this, is that nobody fucking cares. The reality is that you as a player, I care so little about you, because this is one of these weird industries in which I don't see my customers. I never meet them. If they have written a review, they might get a response, but most likely it's not going to happen. You know, we don't work in a one-to-one relationship. We work in a one to, I need 50,000 people, right? And if one guy or 10 people or even 1,000 people have a bad experience, in hell, most games, if we think about it, like we released a version, if we split test, half the population is going to get something that doesn't work. Okay, cool. Well, let's just roll it back. Like, that's a pretty typical common response. Yeah, just roll back the version, or we choose the best performing one, or we're doing a constantly test. I mean, you live in Canada. Not unfortunate because it's not a beautiful country. It's unfortunate because every game that's released in Canada is essentially a soft launch of what it could be like in America, you know? So
I'm a test market.
Well, but my point with this is that the marketing guys who have all the budget, you know, product has no budget. They're the ones who make money, but they really have no budget. Whereas me, I'm the marketing guy. I got $150 million to spend. People want to listen to me. They want, when I say, get me more traffic, and they're like, how do we do that? You know, he's already paying the most. He's paying top CPM. His IPM, whenever can find it. He's done the, we're not going to talk about creative optimization. That's not the purpose of this conversation. But okay, well, what if we just force people to click on the button or make that button a little bit harder or extend? And so then they do a little test and, oh, lo and behold, who's super happy now? Me. I'm like over the moon. Wow. What did you guys do? I don't know how many times I've actually called publishers and been like, what did you guys do? That was amazing. How did you get there so much traffic? And they tell me something about some optimization or whatever. Now, that may be true, but I have a sinking suspicion now that I've worked with the industry long enough that it could have just been like, we had a bug and all of a sudden everyone who saw the ad had to click on it. And that's why you've got all this traffic. And so this is where we're in a weird scenario, or not a scenario, we're in a weird Twilight Zone type of moment where you need the ad revenue in most cases to be profitable. That 30% is often the difference, also because it's getting a better margin, generally speaking. You need this, you need that for profitability. You have very little control over what's shown, and you also don't necessarily care too much as long as you're making the money and you can sort of optimize that. You sort of, it's like, you know the game is rigged, but you play it anyway. Right. I don't know. I think the song goes, it's like, you know, the dice are loaded, but I'm still rolling them, you know, because it's the only game in town. So I got to play it. And I think that's kind of where we find ourselves. There is no other alternative than to what exists.
I have to keep some hope. I have to keep some hope that if you do actually care about the user experience, as we talked about initially,
yes,
if you actually do care about users, and I know it's hard to care about an individual because you have to deal in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, billions in some cases. If you do care, that will be rewarded. And I think there are some examples of games that do it well and do it right and retain users for literally years. And those are probably mid-core to hardcore. But I acknowledge the reality of what you're talking about, and that is just this is the world we live in.
I wouldn't say it's all doom and gloom. I wouldn't say that it's all doom and gloom because I think that what I experienced in that game, in that moment, is something that a lot of companies just don't have much visibility into. And so I wanted to mention what we were talking about before, right? Which is that Iron Source has come out with this system called Ad Quality, right? And when you update that SDK, you get to start to see which providers provide what level of click quality, right? Like, hey, this is the level of click quality. These were hasty clicks, people who clicked too quickly, which is less than 5 seconds, which is most likely that, you know, something a bit fishy. Here's the people who thought they were clicking on an X button that they get redirected. And here's the ones who just auto redirect. And you can see by publisher, which ones are the ones driving this type of stuff. And you can go down and see which ad. And so all of a sudden you get to start to see like, okay, this is interesting. I didn't have, and I'm not going to stop calling out anybody here. That's not the purpose of this call, but shocking as many people probably tuned in to hear me rail on this company. But no, but I think the end result is visibility. It is good, but I'm not 100% sure that it will change much, right? Only that if a person sees it, they might say, hey, maybe I should deprioritize that particular SDK. The problem will be that they may suffer on a limit. They may not have enough fill for that particular market. Maybe that SDK is super good for this particular market or this segment of users, which their game happens to be strong in which case they may suffer. So, you know, you take that with a grain of salt and you try to...
It actually would work if you have Remnant, if you're part of a large studio or a conglomerate and you've got hundreds of games and you can say, hey, Remnant goes to cross promotion, right?
Right.
And then you can do that in a way that is super respectful and super useful from the end user, the gamer, the player perspective. So much to unpack here. I'm not sure we're solving this world, but I do like that look at ad quality. And part of that would be, and I don't know how much data that SDK can collect. And especially, I don't know when Privacy Sandbox for Android comes in and SDKs are going to be basically firewalled in a location where they can't grab everything. But, you know, if I've got a video ad and somebody says, okay, I'll watch the ad, puts the phone down, does something else, right? That would be interesting to know. Is the phone moving? Is it flat and level? Is it, you know, because we always move a little bit when we're doing, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know if you can get that level of information and what where you cross the creepy line as well. So lots of issues there.
But again, you touch on that point about, well, sorry, to finish thought.
No, you go for it. You're the guest.
I think it's, you know, I've worked in gaming for a long time. It's coming up on like 17 years now. And the thing that I'm always sort of shocked at is that when I meet people who are like, you know, they get so deep into like what you're describing, you know, the tilting, the thing that, and I'm always like, cool, man. Like, I like that somebody's out there thinking about that stuff because 99.9% of that doesn't matter. It just has no practical implication. What are you going to do? You're going to say, hey, we see that phone has been put down. We're not giving you a reward. You know, that's going to do. It's going to like, it's going to nullify that entire experience, not just for that player, but for every player.
And you so can not give the reward, but you can report it to the ad, the company that's paying for the ad.
Yeah, but so here's the problem with that. And again, this is where this whole thing, you know, it's the same company who's paying for the advertisement who you're going to report it to, right? Here's the problem. Here's the biggest issue, right? Is that who would call you in this scenario? Iron Source would call you and say, hey, by the way, just want to let you know all that traffic we sent you. Well, actually, they didn't even do anything. So probably shouldn't have to pay us.
Yeah.
Guess what? We already paid those guys for impression. So sorry, actually, you had to pay for it, even though, I mean, it's just so the problem we're finding ourselves in is that there just is no, you know, IAP, whatever, you know, So there's no structure to
your measurement partner who kind of doesn't care who gets paid and can tell you what traffic caused the most actual impact and conversions. It's almost like, you know, this podcast might be by a company that does some of that. So, but I get your point.
Well, but you know what I'm trying to say is that the problem is that it's a bit, you know, the lights are off, man. No, you know, yep. The lights are off. and the person who potentially could be in charge. And by the way, I would never advocate for them to be in charge. And I would never, and I, as a business owner, I would never do what I just described. I wouldn't call the person to be like, hey, by the way, that quality is not so great. I mean, no, let's, you don't want to have to go into like device graph manipulation, but it's a big reason why we're in this position of IDFA deprecation to begin with, because companies could mix and match and fraud and do whatever they wanted, and game developers knew nothing. It's okay, I got paid. Or on the other side, you know, if I told you now, John, you want to buy media for me, and I tell you, okay, CPI is actually just $35. You're like, but yesterday you told me it was two. You're like, well, it is two, yes. But if you want to pay the real price without any of this malarkey, it's going to be $30. And people go, yeah, my board won't accept that.
I'm not doing that. Exactly.
Why would I do that? Why would I, like, I would literally just, because that guy telling me it's $2. I'm like, yeah, well, that guy's also sending you 500,000 clicks and 15 installs. Where do you think those clicks are going? Who do you think those people are? So that in the end is this thing that we're up against. And I feel like.
And there you have just described the ad tech ecosystem, where you people who want everything for nothing and people who want to give you nothing for everything. And somehow in between and in betwixt, it sort of kind of works out.
I do think that, you know, if more game developers are calling these guys out, as I did, Then you will see something happening. If Zynga or...
They were listening.
They were.
There were people from Unity that paid in on that. I'm not going to name the company that you particularly called out there, but I suspect they reached out.
He'll reach out to me. And so did a few board members and a few other people that I knew. And they said, hey, what's going on, man? They thought I had something against them. And I was like, no, it's not a personal thing. As I say, I love ads. I'm a huge proponent. It's like the first thing I'm looking at. How can we put more ads in your game, you know? But these things are things which go unseen. And by the way, it wasn't like that company all of a sudden was sending an email to that other company I was working with and say, hey, by the way, we're really sorry. You know, RSK introduced this bug, which had this, you know, inability to click out of an ad. So we might've introduced, like, they're just sort of,
What we have done is we've kind of pulled back the curtain a little bit today on some of the things that go on in between all the competing industries in the mobile gaming industry. It has been a lot of fun. It's been somewhat depressing. It's a ray of sunshine. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
I said, you know, it's the only game in town. So, and everyone's playing it. So, you know, there's like, if you want to be in it, you gotta just sort of be in it.
I don't know. Be in it to win it, obviously. Excellent. Wonderful. Adam, thank you so much for this time. It's been really enjoyable.
Thanks, Sean. It's been a pleasure.